Tonight we are, Hashem, talking about the Me'il. The Me'il, if you look in the source, on source number one, the Pasuk Parsha Tzav, it tells us when it lists the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears, this is one of the eight begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol. It is not worn by a Kohen Hadyot. So where their list, Ve'elu ha-begadim ha-shayasu, choshen ve'efod u-me'il, so one of the begadim that we're talking about is the begad, that is the me'il. We're going to do two things tonight. This is the general structure of how the shiurim go. The first thing that we're going to be doing is defining and trying to explain the actual form, the construction of the me'il, what exactly it looks like. A lot of the purpose of that section of the shiur is to help us understand well Chumash and Rashi, to try to give us a good understanding of what's there. We'll add in some machlokesim here or there between the Rishonim. And the second part of the shiur is really to try to find one element, something a little bit unique or something that emerges from the Me'il, from one of the Bidei Kuna each week, and to try to be able to appreciate what's going on there. So let's speak about the actual form of the Me'il. The Me'il was a garment dafka for the Kohen Gadol. If you look in the Pesukim, in source number 3, Shmos Tavches Lamed Aleph, V'asisa es Me'il ha'ifod k'lil t'cheles. The first thing to know about the Me'il, like the cloak or the coat the Kohen wore, was that it consists entirely of t'cheles. It's explicit in the Pasuk. It's also in the Gemara in Zvachim, on Pechas Amedez. The Gemara there says, Me'il kulo shel t'cheles haya. It was entirely constructed from a form of, from t'cheles. The next thing that we know in terms of the length, the size of the Me'il, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdas, Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes in Perush Al Torah, the Me'il would cover the entire body. We'll speak about some details in a little bit, but it would go from the neck of the Kohen all the way down to his feet. It was a garment, a cloak that would cover the entire body of the entire length, except for the head, of the Kohen. The third thing is a major machlokas harishonim, and that has to do with really how the Me'il looked. If you look in your source sheet, in source number 10, Rav Chiel Michel Stern, in a sefer, V'asuli Mikdas, a nice sefer on Truma Tetzaveh, some of the Bidei Kuna, some of the Klei HaMishkan, so he has a nice picture to try to articulate it. Really three views of Rishonim as to what the Me'il exactly looked like. According to the opinion of the Ravid, the Ravid's explicit in the Klei HaMikdas, Tes Gimel, that's source number 6 on the sheet. The Ravid says that the Me'il had sleeves, it's the bottom left one, it had sleeves, and it had no openings. So you would sort of put on this garment on top, and your entire body was really covered. All your arms were covered, and it went all the way down, and there were no real openings there other than the opening for at the end of the sleeves for your hands, and the opening for the head, and your feet at the bottom. But other than that, your body was really entirely surrounded by the Me'il. There's a sefer called Big Day Kahuna, written by Rav Moshe Leib Shachor. That's an important sefer, Big Day Kahuna. And he points out that Rashi, in his Perish on Chumash, it's quite possible that if you read Rashi closely, Rashi sounds like he may have held like the Ravid also. When Rashi distinguishes in Perek Tavches, Pasuk Dala, between the Ksones and the Me'il, so he sounds like the difference between them is that one of them is, the Ksones is attached to your body, the Me'il is on top, and it sounds like the Me'il really does cover your entire body. The second Shita is that of the Rambam. That's the top right picture there on your sheet. The Rambam maintains that the best way to really think about it is that the Me'il essentially looks like our Beged of Tzitzis. It has no sleeves, and it's open on the sides. It's really a four-cornered garment, made out of t'cheles, no sleeves and no sides. As for the Ravid argues, what do you mean there are sides? What do you mean there are sleeves? For the Rambam, it looks much more like a regular beged of tzitzis. I think in some of the picture books, when they have it, that's the picture that they use. Though again, there are some acharon that suggest that that's not really how Rashi's looked. That's how the Rambam's looked, at least in terms of how the Rambam is understood by the Tiferes Yisrael. That's quoted in source number 9, Sefer Bidei Kahuna. It's also what is quoted in source number 10, the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. The third view of just how it looks is the view of the Ramban in his Perush al HaTorah. The Ramban writes in his Perush al HaTorah that I agree with the Rambam. He likes the Rambam that it has no sleeves. But the Ramban says there's an opening in the Me'il, but not on the sides of the body like the Rambam's, like our tzitzis. No, it's closed on the sides. The opening is in the front of the Me'il. There's an opening in the front, like if you look in that picture in the top left, it's as if you're wearing a button-down shirt and your top two buttons are buttoned. I think that was about, you know, 12 years ago, how some of the gangs, that was like a, there was an era in the history of the gang scene in America where that was what was done. And like the top couple there, and the opening in the front. That's how it would look according to the Ramban. That was your awkward pop culture reference of the evening. I was going for it. It was very rabbinic sounding, no? Let's go on. That is in terms of the construction of the Me'il itself. At the bottom of the Me'il, the Torah goes on to teach us there was something else. And this many of us are familiar with. The Torah goes on to say in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'asisa al shulav, you would make on the bottom of the Me'il, Rimone teles v'argaman v'solas shani al shulav saviv, u'pa'amone zahav b'socham saviv. Pa'amon zahav v'rimon, pa'amon zahav v'rimon, al shulei ha-me'il saviv. You would have at the bottom of the me'il two things, rimons and pa'amons. Pa'amons were made out of gold. Those are like bells. They were made out of gold, small golden bells. The rimons, I'll give you a picture of how it looks here. They look similar to the bell. This is how it looks, almost like a, I don't know what the right word would be to describe that. I guess the form of a pomegranate. It was made out of tsemer, out of wool, but different colored wools. It's made out of wool of tola ashani, teles, and argaman. Different colors it would be dyed in, and that would all be mixed together in the construction of the rimons. So there are rimons and pa'amons. How did the rimons and the pa'amons go on the bottom? That's a major machlokas al HaTorah between Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi understood, this is the more standard shot, that it would alternate on the bottom of the thing. There would be a pa'amon rimon, pa'amon rimon, pa'amon rimon, all the way along the front and all the way along the back. It would alternate between them. That's based lechora on the pasuk when the pasuk says, pa'amon zahav v'rimon, pa'amon zahav v'rimon, al shuleha me'il saviv. Sounds like it would alternate between pa'amon and rimon. The Ramban in his Perush al HaTorah argues. The Ramban says the way it would look would be that the rimon would cover the pa'amon. It wasn't that they would alternate, but it was more like, again, where this is Rashi, two different ones alternating. For the Ramban, the pa'amon was in the middle, and it was surrounded by a rimon. That, look over to get some of the ambiguity in the Pesukim, is when the Pasuk says, about it before, U'pa'amonei zahav b'socham saviv, that it was inside of it. So the Ramban understand, Rashi says that inside of it means inside, it was surrounded by. The Ramban is inside of it means it was literally inside of it. How many pa'amons and rimons were there on the Me'il? So there were, on the front side and the back side, the same amount. The front side had 36 pa'amons and 36 rimons, and the back side had 36 pa'amons and 36 rimons. So it was interspersed sort of all the way around the Me'il. So Me'il was a special baguette of the Kohen Gadol. It was made out of tcheles. It covered his whole body. Machlokas, three-way machlokas, Rambam, Ravid, and maybe Rashi. And the Ramban, how exactly it was constructed. At the bottom, there were pa'amons and rimons. Machlokas, Rashi, and the Ramban, how that was constructed. The pa'amons were made out of gold. The rimons from the tzemer dyed different colors, but we're alternating. It was all within that. That's all a question that is found amongst the Rishonim. Why were there pa'amons and rimons at the bottom? So the Torah tells us, V'haya al aharon l'shares, that he would wear the me'il, he would go when he would do his avodah. V'nishma kolo bivo'o el ha'kodesh lifnei Hashem, uvit say so, v'lo yamos, and then v'nishma kolo, not exactly clear what that's referring to, a voice would be heard before Hashem. What exactly is that referring to? Seems to be a machlokas harishonim. Sorry, it's not in your sheets. My printer is not working at home, so I have some things here that are not. The simple pshat v'nishma kolo is that you would hear the call of the me'il. When the Kohen Gadol would go to do his avodah, he was walking around, you would hear, in the way that the Rashbam describes it, shepa'amonei zehav nokshim u'makin zeh lazeh. Even though the Rimons are there in between, they were close enough, again there were 36 on each side, that the noise that would be heard when Aharon would go would be the bells banging against each other, and as he would walk, people would hear it. People would hear it. Why is it important that people would hear it? So the Rashbam says, "Ulefishet siva kadosh baruch hu v'chol adam lo yeva ol moed v'vo l'chaper because I'd say so." It was a way when people would hear it, so sometimes they would know it could be they're in the wrong place. It could be that the Kohen Gadol's going somewhere. The Kohen Gadol's somewhere where only he should really be going. And if I heard that, it was a sign that maybe I'm not going to the best possible place. The Chizkuni suggests that maybe pshat is that then people, if they would hear it, the Chizkuni says, they would hear the Rimons, the Pamons going back and forth, they would know to have more Kavana, La'avim, Shabbat Shamayim, or maybe it was a way of establishing the Kohen Gadol as being elevated and unique, and therefore, whatever it was, that's the purpose, the voice that would be heard. The Ebenezer is a different pshat, he thinks that we're talking about the voice of Aaron HaKohen, that when Aaron would wear all the begadim, then his voice in tefillah would be heard, not the voice of the pa'amons banging against each other, but rather the voice of Aaron, that because he was wearing all the begadim, including the me'il, his tefillahs would be answered. We really so far had one section of the actual structure, and we added in as sort of a part B of that structure a little bit about what exactly is being heard, what the function is of the pa'amons and rimons there found at the bottom of the me'il. Ad kan, the construction of the me'il, what exactly the me'il more or less looks like. There is, the pasuk tells us, something a little bit unique about the area around the top, around the neck of the me'il. Most of our shirts on top are sort of sewed on top. The way the me'il was done, it was more like this, sort of like folded over, so there wasn't the same kind of like, what's this called? Seam? The same kind of seam or hem around. It was much more direct. That's the pasuk. If you're looking, the pasuk says, Vaya pirosho bisocho safa yelaviv saviv maase oreg v'chulei. That's what how it was. But that's more or less an overview of the construction. Just very quick question.
Yeah. It was just to the Kohen Gadol?
Yes.
There wasn't a real it didn't actually have like a bell inside.
I'm not sure.
He didn't wear this heel.
Yeah, you can look at the Kuni. I mean, he's clearly not quoting that. You have to. He's using it to attract you, so it's good hard. Okay. I want to focus on one halacha found in the context of the Me'il, which is an important one about Big Day Kahuna. The Torah teaches us, if you look in Pasuk Lamed Beis, there, in the context of the Me'il, the Torah tells us, Lo Yikareya, that the Me'il should not be ripped. The me'il should not be ripped. Chazal Darshan, and Rashi points out, I believe, in his Parashat Torah, that there is a halacha we learn from here, an isser to rip the me'il. An isser to rip the me'il. When exactly does this isser apply, and to which of the Big Day Kahuna? We're going to just really highlight tonight a couple of different shittos in Rishon. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Aleph, and the Minchas Chinuch points this out, he really only mentions this Isser in the context of the Me'il. Sounds like maybe the other Big Day Kahuna, there is not such an Isser, or at least not this Isser doesn't apply there. but says the Sefer HaChinuch in the context of the Me'il, you shouldn't rip it. But Pashtus, if you look, as the Michas Chinuch points out, the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Ayin Beis, source 11, tells us, Amarach Amar Yehuda, Amikara Big Day Kahuna, Loka, that it applies to all Big Day Kahuna, that it applies to all Big Day Kahuna. So whereas the Chinuch implies it only is there by the Me'il, Pashtus, the Gemara is very clear that the halacha may be mentioned in regards to the Me'il, but Aliba de MS, all of the Big Day Kahuna, you're not allowed to tear, and if I do tear, then I would violate an Isser. However, we're gonna go through really just organizing some shitas. What kind of tearing violates it? So the Me'iri has a chiddush there in Yuma. It's really already in the Rambam, at least part of it. We'll see the Rambam in a second. The Me'iri writes, and we find a similar halacha in other contexts where there's an Isser of Korea, that it's not any ripping. Sometimes it's mutter to rip a beged. The Isser is if you're ripping it, to the Me'iri, derech hashchasa. If you're ripping it in a destructive manner. Stam, there's not an Isser in terms of Big Day, of some ripping Big Day Kahuna. If I rip it for a positive purpose, I'm ripping it for some important function, maybe the shame of a certain mitzvah, I have to rip it, so then it's not considered to be Usser. The Isser to Oraisa is, the Me'iri understands, to rip it, and the Rambam has a similar understanding, as the way the Mishnah Melech understands it, is Derech Hashchasa. What's the Mucker? The Mefarshim point out, nowhere in Shas does it say, it's only Derech Hashchasa. So if you look in the Grach Al Hashas, so Reb Chaim in the stencils has a line where he says, we don't really need a Makar because the definition of Korea doesn't mean ripping. Korea means ripping in a destructive manner. The real pshat in Korea, says Nafkaminas potentially for other areas in Halacha, is a kind of ripping which is destructive. Is that it? However, despite the fact that it seems up until this point that Asafin Zerachina, Sibal Pshat, the Isser applies to all Begadim, and according to the Me'iri, all Begadim are created equal, it is possible that we have Hilukim between the Big Day Kahuna, and the starting point for that is a Rambam Klei HaMikdash there in Tes Gimel. There's another Rambam, Maisa Karbanos, in Perek Ches, Halacha Chaf, which is also relevant. Another Rambam, there's another Mishnah Melech, that was Kilayim. But the Rambam writes as follows. HaKoreya pi ha-me'il loke. Shne'emar lo yikare. I'm not, if I tear the me'il, I get Malchus. V'hu adin l'chol big day kahuna, sha'koran derech hashchasa loke. The Mishnah Melech quotes in the Sefer Karban Chagiga. He quotes it in a couple of different places. The Karban Chagiga points out, read the Rambam closely, the Michal Schina quotes this also. Sounds of the Rambam's Mechalik between them. All Big Day Kahuna, it is usher to tear, but the Me'il is different than the other Big Day Kahuna. The Me'il, any time, any way you tear it, you violate Nisr. But the other Big Day Kahuna, that's what the Rambam says, you tear the Me'il, you're loka. The other Big Day Kahuna, says the Rambam, that is where that if it's done derech hashchasa, then I violate it. Whereas Me'iri thought derech hashchasa is all of them. Some achronim within the Rambam understand that we are mechalik when it comes to the Me'il. If it comes to the Me'il, it's any ripping is aser. When it comes to the other bidei kuna, then we are mechalik only if it's done derech hashchasa. Yeah, what does that mean? Why would you be mechalik between the Me'il and the other Bidei Kahuna? That's a major question some of the Achronim struggle with. Even if I read the Rambam that way, the Mishnah Melech is not convinced of that. Mishnah Melech thinks read the Rambam, he means it's all Derech Hashchasa. Read it more like the way the Me'iri understands it in the Maseches Yuma. Why would I be mechalik between the Me'il and everything else? Why daven everything else? So I'll share with you one pshat, the pshat of the Marcheshas. The Marcheshas says, "Ein chinami." There's no real reason you can be mechalik between the Me'il and the other Bidei Kahuna. Hare, the Mucker is the Me'il. The Me'il is the Mucker. All the other Bidei Kahuna are learned from the Me'il. So how could it be that the Me'il is different? So says the Mar Cheses the following Chiddush. The Isser of tearing Bidei Kahuna for all Bidei Kahuna is only when it's done Derech Hashchasa. How come he hasn't mentioned it in the context of the Me'il? So says the Mar Cheses because of the unique way that the Me'il was constructed. Our shirts have a hem on top. Therefore, if you would tear part of it, it'll protect it from the rest of it tearing. However, when it comes to the Me'il, says the Mar Cheses, any time that it rips because it doesn't have the protective hem or seam around it, I believe that's how he says it, any time it rips, he says, by definition, it's Derech Hashchasa. It's going to certainly end up tearing to the point where it's Derech Hashchasa. Because what's Derech Hashchasa mean, says the Mar Cheses. So I would have said, and maybe one could suggest, Derech Hashchasa means that you tore it. It's a question of how you tore it. You as a Gavra, were you Mivaza the Bidei Kahuna? Did you tear it in a way where you didn't respect it? Where you didn't offer any kavod? Bar Chash says it's not what Hashchasa means. Hashchasa means, did you passel it from being a kosher beged? Other Bidei Kahuna, there's more flexibility. Tears a little bit there, you didn't passel it from being a kosher beged. But says the Mar Chash, when it comes to the Me'il, so whenever you tear it because of the unique construction of the Me'il, we're not talking about the details right now, we don't know enough of the other Bidei Kahuna, by definition, it's automatically going to become pasul, and therefore it's not really that much of a chiddush when it comes to the Me'il, as much as by definition, the Me'il, any tearing, is going to be Derech Hashchasa, and therefore the Rambam did not have to spell it out. So whereas we have, again, the simple tchinach sounds like only Me'il, possibly can't accept it, it's all Bidei Kahuna. But even though it's by all Bidei Kahuna, part of the question is, are all Bidei Kahuna created equal? One possible chiluk is the way some Achronim learn the Rambam. But even according to the Mar Cheses, even for the Rambam, they're all really the same, just a technical reason why for the Me'il specifically, it's going to look the way it looks. One, two, and... There is another way of being mechalik between Bidei Kahuna. I saw it this morning. The Kli Chemda is one of the great... Anyone whose cup this is? The Kli Chemda is one of the great, interesting mefarshim in his Perush al Torah. And I think he's a Talmud of the Sakash of Rabbi Nezer. And he's a lot of halach discussions in his Perush al Torah. It's a somewhat well-known sefer. He also wrote a different sefer, I believe called Chemdas Yisrael, with a kuntres in there called Ner Mitzvah, I believe is what it's called. I don't have it on me. I saw it, I can't say I learned it consistently. I saw it quoted, there's a new Minchas Chinuch that's come out, it's coming out now, they have it in this, at least I think three volumes now. It's a new Minchas Chinuch to Mechon Yerushalayim with great footnotes. And there they quote the Chemdas Yisrael. I did not know it otherwise. I do not consistently look there. But he has a fascinating pshat. It's difficult to read within the Gemara, within the Rambam. It's a very important pshat. What motivates him, we're going to hopefully talk about. We don't have enough weeks in Kayetzman to do this properly, but hopefully we'll have a long session or two at some point, and we'll be able to talk about this. He thinks Yeshuchalik between the Big Day Kohen Gadol and the Big Day Kohen Hedya. That's the Chila. A Me'il is one of the Big Day Kohen Gadol. Yeshuchalik, he tainas, between Big Day Kohen Gadol and Big Day Kohen Hedya. That is based for him on a larger distinction between the two. L'chora, there are two ways to understand the relationship between Bidei Kahuna and Bidei Kohen Gadol. One is to understand, essentially they are the same. They have the same amount of Kedusha. It just happens to be that the Kohen Gadol gets more, the Kohen Hedyot has less, but really there's not that much of a reason to be mechalik between the different begadim. But says the Kli Chemda, I don't think that's true, and it's based on some good rayas in Gemara, we'll speak about another time, it's not really his chiddush. There's a difference between them. And the Big Day Kohen Gadol have a different form of Kedusha than the Big Day Kohen Hedyot. If you go back to the first of the Shirim, we mentioned a similar kind of a chiluk in terms of the Chav of Vilisif Ares, a possible chiluk between Bidei Kohen Gadol and Bidei Kohen Edyo. But it's possible, he suggests, that that chiluk, again, we're not elaborating on it right now, is the difference between whether you require Derech Hashchasa or not. The Bidei Kohen Gadol have a different kind of Kedusha. And therefore, any tearing of a Bidei Kohen Gadol is already an Isser that's included in this Isser that's found by the Me'il. I can extend to other Bidei Kohen Gadol, but I can't extend that to all Begadim because it's a heightened level of Kedusha. Just because the Isser is Shayach here doesn't mean it's Shayach everywhere else. But the Bidei Kohen Hedyo on a lower level of Kedusha, again, we're being somewhat vague for now, but hopefully it's good enough. The Bidei Kohen Hedyo on a lower level of Kedusha, that I only violate when I actually come along and I tear it derech hashchasa. Derech hashchasa. Because a lower level of Kedusha, you only violate the Isser when you violate that Korea in a more egregious kind of a way, when you do it derech hashchasa. Ad kan, let me just chazer what we did tonight, attempting to give an overview of the Me'il. We spoke about how the construction, there are two sections. Section number one, the main body of it, shitas, how it looks, more like our tzitzis, more like a full body cover, more like the Ramban, the opening in the front, the two buttons on top. And the reference I made will help you remember it. We then saw the bottom of it has pa'amons and rimons, the front and the back. We spoke a little bit about what the function of the pa'amons and rimons are, how it's, the pasuk says, the kol can be heard, sounds like for most misfarshim, the kol of the pa'amons going off each other is going to be heard, and that will either establish the kohen as unique or help others recognize the status. Parentheses, that also fits with some of the questions we saw. How much b'dik huna are about the Kohen? How much b'dik huna are about others? It's a similar kind of an issue. We also saw then a discussion about the Me'il. And we saw that Bill, in these psukim, we find an Isser quote in the Gemara Masechet Yuma and Daf Yomi Beis, you're not allowed to tear any of the b'dik huna. And we saw some discussion, when does that apply, dafka derech hashchasa or not? And whether it's possible the mechal between bidei kohuna, we saw two possible chilukim. One is the me'il versus everything else, which the Marches explains on technical grounds. And the second is the chendas yisrael, the ability to be mechalik between bidei kohen gadol and bidei kohen hedyo. And maybe we haven't seen textual evidence to mechalik like that, but as we continue to move on and we see differences between the bidei kohuna, but Ezra Hashem will be able to appreciate more that chiddush of the chendas yisrael. Shkai, guys, have a wonderful night.